Thanks very much, Jeff. And thank you so much for people sharing. It's been a really great opportunity for hear from so many different people, though I must admit when Matt shared, it was very sobering. I think each of us would find that this morning. I'm going to invite Shalini. He's going to come up and bring us a Bible reading this morning. So if you have a Bible, if you'd open it up to Colossians chapter 4, it's the last of our weeks in the book of Colossians. Thank you, Shalini.
The reading for this morning is taken from Colossians 4, 2-6. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone.
Fantastic. Thank you, Shalini. If you have your Bible, you might be able to leave it open there, and that would be helpful for you. 21 used to be kind of a magic number. It will tell us what age you are if you think it's a magic number. I remember when we were 21, we were given a key. Who was given a key when they were 21? Fantastic. It was kind of a significant party when you turned 21. At 21, you were declared responsible. 21, you were told that you were now mature. The truth is that 21, most of us had no idea what we were doing. Living on two-minute noodles and foolishly thought we were invincible. All at 21. You know, throughout the letter of Colossians, Paul has painted us a vision of Jesus in all of his glory. He's urged us, he's exhorted us to live in light of who that Jesus is. That Jesus should impact how we live in our own faith and our walk. It should live in how we live, impact how we live in our community, our Christian community. And in Colossians chapter 4, at the end of this letter, he reminds us it should have an impact on how we live in our world, both internally and externally. And as we read this final exhortation today, I want to just give you a very simple framework for you to grab a hold of it and maybe be able to kind of take it with you into the week. It's very simply this. The first half of it is simply speaking to God about people. And the second half of it is speaking to people about God. That's all it is. If you understand that, you will understand the essence of what this passage is about. In fact, it has two primary commands in this passage. The first command is a command to devote. Devote yourself to prayer. And the second command is kind of a little bit more of an unusual one. It's a command for you to be wise. Not to be wise intellectually, but be wise in how you live. In verse 2, we read these words, devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. This is nothing unusual in the New Testament, is it? Nothing unusual to be called to pray. It's not a new idea. We're called to pray for many things in life. This morning, we've prayed for people. We often pray for leaders. We've prayed for nations. We've prayed for peace. Well, today, though, this call has a very explicit nature of it. We're called to pray for open doors, for God to open doors for his good news. That's the specific, explicit call for our prayer today. You know, history records that the Apostle Paul was the most successful evangelist of Christian history. Central to that success is Paul knowing his dependence on God and asking for help. In chapter 1, Paul had written to this church about how he prayed unceasingly for them. And now he asked them to pray for him. Not for anything personal. He's not asking for something for himself. Instead, his sight is firmly fixed on what his mission is, that people would have an opportunity to hear the good news of Jesus. that God will open a door. Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Pray for us too, that God will give us many opportunities to speak about his mysterious plan concerning Christ. Why does he ask for prayer? Why does the most successful evangelist of all time ask for prayer? Well, you see, Paul knows that it's not his power, but it's God's power. Paul knows that it's God is the one who prepares the way. He's the one who opens doors. He's the one who softens the hearts of people who will listen to that message. God is the door opener. Now, I don't know about you, but what Paul writes here is really important, I think, for every Christian to hear. God does the heavy lifting. For so many of us, we think that our job, our responsibility is try to convince someone, into the kingdom of God. But that's not what Paul says. Paul says that it is God is the one who does the work. God is the one who opens doors. And now you might say to me, and quite rightly say to me, but Andrew, that's the ancient world. We live in 21st century Australia. Don't we live in a nation where all the doors are closed? You know, I want to tell you today that, in fact, the research that's conducted in Australia is actually really quite different from this. Information that's conducted in kind of interviews and sort of statistical research by NCLS and McCrindle organisation tells us that the response from people is an openness to hear about Jesus that is quite surprising. Here's a little bit of a breakdown. A significant portion of the population, it's recorded, is open to attending a church. Around about 45% of Australians, non-churched Australians, when they're asked whether they would attend a Christmas service, for example, said yes, they would. 18 to 20% said that they would be fairly certain, and another 20% said that they would probably accept. Isn't that good news? It's surprising, I think, for most of us who have this mindset that people are not interested in the things of Jesus. And in fact, the good news for all of us is that inviting people to engage with Jesus is not dependent on your debating skills. Not at all. In fact, the most significant reason that people would come to a church or hear about Jesus is because of a relationship. Not about knowledge, not about your technical skills, but about your relationship. Does that encourage your heart? Pray that God will open doors. Pray that God will open doors. Back to 21. 21, well, 21 is now an irrelevant number, isn't it? When you think of 21, what comes to your mind? 21 unread emails? 21 things on your to-do list? 21, well, maybe that's the only thing that's important. It's the winning score in a game of table tennis, or if you're playing blackjack at a casino. Maybe I shouldn't be mentioning that on the Sunday. 21 days, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but 21 days is not enough time to get married in Australia. In fact, you need 28 days to get married in Australia. 21's irrelevant. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 says this. Devote yourselves to prayer. Pray that I will proclaim this message as clearly as I should. You know, the reasons why people struggle, why you and I struggle, and sometimes fear to share Jesus, are as varied as the different types of people who are here in this auditorium or online right now. But I suspect that top of the list are two things. Firstly, I don't want to be rejected by a friend. The second thing would be this. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. And here the Apostle Paul asked the church to pray for him that he will announce the good news of Jesus clearly as possible. He wants to speak of his love with clarity and understanding. You know, and when I was 16, one of my friends bought me a book for my birthday. It's called Why Didn't I Say That? Here it is up on the screen. The Art of Verbal Self-Defense. It says in the blurb, it says, this book is designed for everyone who figures out what they should have said, but only after a painful confrontation is long over. The book preps the reader so that the next time around, the balance may shift. Now, I've got to say, when I was 16, I was kind of a smarty pants. Not sure I needed encouragement to fire at people verbally. But the truth is, I think this book rings true for many of us, don't you? Don't we wish sometimes that we could kind of turn the clock back? We come back with kind of a smart thing to say, but it's 10 minutes, an hour later. Oh, can I just go back and repeat that? How about that is with the same with our faith journey? Paul's request is that we will speak about the mystery, speak about the wonder, speak about the thing that seems strange, the love and grace of Jesus in a way that people will understand. Can I ask you a question? How do you speak under pressure? Do you enjoy it? Kind of being put on the spot? Now, my experience is for the vast majority of people, they hate it with a passion. I know when we interview people, one of the big requests is, and one of the more important things is, let's make sure that you know the questions in advance, and so we can think about things in advance. Well, let me ask you in advance. What would you say to someone who asked you why you were Christian? What would you say? How about, what would you explain about who the nature of who Jesus is? What would you say? You know, the cliched example of this is a person is dying. They've got 2 minutes and they say, tell me about Jesus. What are you going to say? That's being kind of put on the spot in the ultimate way. You know, I'm not going to give you an answer today. We're going to talk about this in a couple of weeks, but let me ask you, what would you say? What would you say when they say, why are you a Christian? What's the reason for that? Paul says, pray that I will proclaim, pray that I will announce, pray that I will share this message as clearly as I can. You know, the Colossian church lived in a hostile world. They needed to have answers ready for when people asked them. And I'm not sure that we live in any different sort of world. 21 days ago, it was the 8th of February. Do you remember that day? I do. It was my birthday. You can write it in your calendars right now if you want. 21 days, it will be the 22nd of March, the Karen anniversary, but it's also my oldest daughter's birthday. You know, time passes quickly, doesn't it? In fact, many days can seem inconsequential. 21 days is 504 hours, 13 weeks. That's the amount of long service leave when you've worked for 15 years. Do you know that? 21, that's 30,240 minutes, or 1,814,400 seconds. In fact, I've just used 35 of them on this trivial illustration. 21. Paul now writes, as much as we've been speaking to God about people, how should we speak to people about God? Live wisely among those who are not believers. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you'll have the right response for everyone. Pray for opportunities and live wisely. You know, Paul has an expectation, first I want to say, that the Colossian church will live among people who did not know Jesus. Paul has an expectation that the people will live among people who do not know Jesus. Now, understand, this letter is filled with all sorts of warnings about the threat that was kind of attached to the Christian church at that particular time. It has all sorts of warnings, but Paul is not saying run away from them. He's not saying go and live in your own little world, not go and live in a cave. He's saying you are still expected to live among people who do not know Jesus. As I said before, they were a minority in a hostile environment. But Paul reminds them that they need to be concerned about the impression, the understanding that they give on people who were hostile neighbors about who Jesus was. You know, these people lived in a such a way that they weren't resentful to their neighborhood. Even though they were marginalized, even though they were ostracized, they still called and lived in a way which expressed the love of Jesus. Now, I'm not sure if you were with us in January where we had a number of different people sharing on different parables. But if you remember, Hannah Prowse shared about the Good Samaritan parable. And one of the things she mentioned was about her workplace. She shared that in her workplace, Christians were known not for love, but for hate. Isn't that tragic? You may have heard me share one of my little mantras that I like. I want us to be known for the things that we stand for, not the things we stand against. I want us to be known for expressions of love. Because we all know, don't we? This is the truth that I don't think I need to harp on in terms of what it means to our mind. It just needs to grab a hold of us in our hearts and in our hands. The thing that we always know is that our words and our actions must align, don't they? Because if our actions and our words don't align, we know which speaks the loudest. I mean, I could get into the microphone. I could yell at the top of my very loud voice. And it would never surpass my actions. Our actions and our words must align. In fact, I actually strongly believe that our actions lead to words. Live wisely. Now, I love that Paul actually doesn't write in detail what that means. He just says, live wisely. Do you know what it means? I think a simple way to think about it is, what would it be to be unwise and kind of do the opposite? Live wisely. Speak graciously. Grace should flavor our words, our conversation. Our conversation here is not just terms of speaking good news about who Jesus is. It's our conversation, our total conversation. We should be known as people who encourage and build up. When we're sharing our faith, our words should be real. They should be authentic. They shouldn't feel stage managed. They should come with grace, not condemnation. Speak graciously so that then you may also know how to answer everyone. Prepare and think about what you would say to those who have never understood who Jesus is. It's a calling for each one of us. You know, each of us knows the kind of that cliche, don't we, of the tone-deaf Christian who bellows at strangers passing by. They kind of look at them sort of side-eyed and confusion and some mixture of disgust. The truth is that if we use words as a weapon, it almost always leads to failure. Direct assault on a person is seldom successful. It comes with a great cost often. In fact, it builds fear and loathing amongst the vast majority of us. Paul's advice here is not that we might possess better techniques. Rather, his advice is to turn that around and to say, pray for opportunities so that we will be ready to answer people. We are meant to be able to have answers to when people respond to light and love. We're ready to be able to accept openings, not bulldoze people to make openings. This is not about sounding some sort of retreat, I want you to hear, because we're called not to be tactless, but we're also called not to be toothless. We are called to pray for and to expect opportunities. Is that your experience? Do you pray for, do you expect opportunities? Yeah, in my life, I cannot recall people who have been argued into the kingdom of God. Only people who have been loved. When you try to argue someone, you might win the debate and lose the person. but looking for openings. You know, every human, your neighbour, maybe your family member, your work colleague, every human is looking for hope and meaning and love in life. Pray for opportunities. You know, it's said that the one thing in common that Christians and non-Christians have is they both hate evangelism. People who don't know Jesus, I understand why they would hate evangelism. I understand how they feel, because Jesus calls people to a radical life. Jesus calls people to turn your life around, to acknowledge that you've been doing the wrong thing. And if you're not interested in it, that's an in-your-face call. I understand that. And I understand why many Christians fear evangelism as well. We're worried about being ostracized, worried about being rejected or humiliated, worried we won't have answers. And so we run from it, but take a bag of guilt with us as we're running. You know, Paul urges us to pray for opportunities. He urges us to live wisely, to speak clearly and graciously. 21. It's said that it takes 21 days to form a habit. Now, comedians would add to that it takes 2 days to break it and 2 years to get out of the gym membership. But 21 days to form a habit. Now, I know that some of you are immediately going to Google this and you're going to discover that the science around it is really sketchy. All right? Now, this is not a science illustration. You're going to have to stick with me for it. 21 days to form a habit. All right? And I want to invite you today to join with me in forming a 21-day habit. Now, I've got some people who are going to hand out some little cards. They're going to come in any moment now. There's a bunch of, I can just see them flooding to the front. I'm giving the subtle hint. I was just met with a gesture of waving arms. I think that means that we're on our game. Here they come, 21 cards. I'm going to invite you, 21, you'll see it on the things. I'm going to invite you to join with me in a 21-day habit. I want to say to you, this is simple, but it's not easy. All right? Maybe you've been doing, if you could hand those out at the moment, thank you, team, that would be wonderful. I want you to think about, and maybe you've been doing this already, I want you to think about one person who comes to your mind when we've read those words from Paul today. Think about one person. Not 10, just one. Who's that person? Who's that person that you would like an opportunity to share the good news of Jesus with? On the card that you're receiving, you can have, there's a place there when you can take it away and you can write their name on that card. Okay? Write their name on that card. And I'm going to ask you to take that card with you. Some of you, you might want to put it in your wallet. Some of you might want to put it in like the console in your car. Some of you might want to put it beside your bed. You can, in all sorts of places. Underneath that name place there are 21 circles. So I want to invite you for the next 21 days to pray for that person. Pray that we will have an opportunity to share Jesus. 21 days to potentially change someone's eternal destination. 21 days to seek an opportunity to speak Jesus. If you click them all or cross them out, maybe I'll spot you a free coffee as well. 21 days. Now, this passage begins in this way. Devote yourself to prayer. I decided that I'm not going to begin my talk that way, but I decided that instead of beginning it, I was going to finish it this way. And so what we're going to do is this. I'm going to pause for 30 seconds. And I want to invite you to devote yourself to prayer. You, by now, I trust that you've thought of a name, a person there that you want to write their name in. And so what we're going to do is I'm just going to leave some silence. And I'm going to give an opportunity for you to pray for that person. You'll know when it's time to finish because I'm going to read part of this passage again for us to finish off our talk. I invite you to pray right now. Devote yourself to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Pray for us too, that God will give us many opportunities to speak about his mysterious plan concerning Christ. Pray that I will proclaim this message as clearly as I should. Pray that I will proclaim this message as clearly as I should. Amen. Now, our prayer, very simply today, is that as much as we have experienced the love of God, that we would express that love of God to people who have never experienced that before. And it can start with just one. So my invitation, as I said, is to take away that card, put it somewhere which is convenient so you won't forget it. All right, it's not like a coffee card that, you know, you clip three times and then find it 18 months later, because that will come with an extra barrel load of guilt. Take it with you. Keep it fresh. Pray for one person for 21 days and see what God will open up opportunities for you.